Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Dr. Stanley Culpepper at the University of Georgia Tifton campus, Jared Whitaker at Statesboro, Jeremy Kickler, the extension agent in Macon County, Georgia, and Dr. Alan York at NC State. Palmer Amaranth, and I'm sure I can skip these first few slides, is an important pest, economically serious pest, in cotton production in the Mid-South and the Southeast. Palmer Amaranth is a large competitive C4 annual that can form dense population stands in infested fields, thereby reducing yields and affecting harvest efficiency. From some of the slides that Dr. Culpepper has shown, Palmer Amaranth females can produce up to 500,000 seeds easily per plant. And when these infestations aren't controlled, the field populations explode to enormous proportions. Part of the problem with the Palmer Amaranth cotton system is cotton is particularly susceptible to weed interference. It's planted at lower densities than other crops, say soybeans or corn. It requires higher temperatures for rapid growth rate. It doesn't germinate or grow as quickly, and traditionally until the canopy fills in, is fairly uncompetitive. To further complicate problems, we have developed resistance to glyphosate in Palmer Amaranth as well as the ALS inhibiting herbicides. And in Georgia, we now have populations that have multiple resistance to both chemical classes. We do have some other options for control, one being glufosinate and ignite-based systems. However, this is going to require a lot of effort from growers, particularly for timely application of their herbicides, because Palmer amaranth is really only susceptible to glufosinate when it's less than 2 inches tall. Beyond that, you stand the chance for regrowth of the plants in the field. Also complicating the problem is that this plant can grow up to inches per day. This is a slide obtained from Dr. Stanley Culpepper that shows Palmer amaranth within, in essence, a two-day period obtaining 4 inches of growth. And then when he measured it at 7 o'clock p.m., one night and came back the next day, it had grown an additional half inch. This makes treating this plant, managing this plant, controlling this plant with topical herbicides quite difficult. Now, residual herbicides are needed for control of Palmer amaranth in cotton. With the advent of the Roundup resistant technology, there was a trend away from the residual herbicide used for post-emergence herbicide applications solely. This isn't going to work anymore, as Dr. Culpepper and others have demonstrated in this session today. And not only are residual herbicides needed at planting, they're also needed at multiple stages during the growing season, because Palmer amaranth does have this extended emergence phenology in the field where it will grow, it will emerge and then grow throughout the season. So the particular chemical that we were looking for today in this study is propazine. It's a photosystem II electron transport inhibitor. And here I say it's pre and post for grain sorghum. The label is for pre-emergence use. The label for grain sorghum specifies a rate of 0.75 to 1.2 quarts per acre for sandy loam to clay loam soils. And it's not recommended for sands or loamy soils. And there's not a lot of work with this chemical in cotton, but there has been some work showing that there is tolerance to propazine. Abernathy et al., with their study, was looking at the tolerance of cotton to propazine because they wanted to evaluate the ability of cotton to go in after crops that were actively using triazine herbicides. And Kendig et al., looking at the possibility of using propazine for cotton production systems. Now, we had four locations that I'm going to discuss mainly in this study, one in Macon County, Georgia, and Moultrie, Georgia. These were Sutton's Field, where we're doing all of our glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth work, and Southern Ag Expo. The soils are a sandy loam. We planted in early, mid to late May with a Bollgard II Roundup Ready Flex variety. We applied our herbicide treatments three times, replanted three times in a randomized complete block using standard procedures. We evaluated crop injury and then glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth control at the Macon County site only, because that's where we had the significant population. This just shows you our herbicide treatments at Macon County and Moultrie both. We had 12 treatments, a non-treated control, Milopro applied pre-emergence at 1 or 2 pints per acre, and Cotteran applied pre-emergence 2 pints per acre, followed only by Weathermax. There was also a third application that was Weathermax for everything but our reflex treatments. We had Weathermax only treatments, no pre-emergence herbicides with Milopro, Parlay, and Staple applied at the post, and then reflex applied pre, followed either by Weathermax, Milopro at 2 pints per acre at the first post application, or Milopro applied at 1 pint per acre at the post one and post two. For North Carolina, we had two studies at the Rocky Mount site, the Upper Coastal Plains Research Station, again to Sandy Loam. We also used a Bolgard 2 Roundup Ready Flex cotton variety, and have also evaluated crop injury. This site had a susceptible Palmer amaranth population, so we did not gather data on Palmer amaranth control, as all treatments were effective. These are the treatments at the Rocky Mount site. They're identical to the treatments at Moultrie in Georgia, except we did not have the additional three treatments that use Reflex Pre followed by Milopro or Weathermax. Okay, first of all, looking at cotton injury. When we look at the Macon County and Moultrie, Georgia sites, we did not see any cotton injury from Milopro or Cotteran applied pre-emergence. There was injury from Reflex applied pre, however, it was transient, and after 3 weeks, the crop had outgrown the injury. The injury that we saw from Reflex was mostly crop stunting and necrosis. Now, when we look at cotton injury for our pre-emergence herbicides applied post, there was slight injury due to Milopro when it was applied at the higher rate, at the 2 pints per acre, when it was applied with Weathermax. Again, it wasn't significant. The injury was transient. Our greatest injury that we saw was from Staple and Weathermax applied post. Again, injury was transient, and we did not see any 3 weeks after that post application. Our injury from Milopro was chlorosis. It was on the treated leaves only. We didn't see any on new growth. At the Rocky Mount, North Carolina site, I'm not going to present the data, but I'll go through it quickly because it was very similar to what we saw at the Moultrie, Georgia, and at the Macon County, Georgia sites with respect to injury. We did see some pre-injury at the higher rate, the 2 pint per acre rate, but there wasn't more than 10% in any one plot, and the mean injury was not greater than 6%, and again, the crop outgrew the injury. When Milopro was applied post, especially at the higher rate, there was no more than 10% injury in any one plot, but mean injury didn't exceed 8% and again was transient. Now, when we look at glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth control, we're looking only at the Macon County, Georgia site because this is where we had the resistant population. If we look at the at-plant pre-emergence herbicide applications, we saw that within 1 week of application, we achieved a greater than 98% control from all of our pre-emergence herbicides. At 3 weeks after our pre-emergence herbicide application, we started to see the Milopro at the 1 pint per acre and the Cotteran applications breaking, but we still had 96% or greater control of glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth from Milopro at 2 pints per acre or Reflex applied at 1 pint per acre. And this next slide I want to show you is just the data, the glyphosate Palmer amaranth control followed through the season, but I wanted to point out the first vertical white bar at 22 days. That was the timing of our first post application, and you can see that Milopro at 2 pints per acre and the Reflex at 1 pint per acre were able to carry this crop to that first post application when your next herbicides would be applied, and hopefully in a real-life scenario, this would include another residual herbicide as well as a topical herbicide for post-control. Now, when we look at the data from the post-1 application, these are the plots where we did not have any pre-emergence herbicide applied prior to our residuals going out. And all these residuals were also applied with WeatherMax at 22 ounces per acre. We saw that we didn't get any control from the post. It doesn't have any residual, or from the parlay. It doesn't have any residual activity, or post-topical activity on glyphosate Palmer amaranth. And we didn't achieve any residual activity from it either because the population densities at this site are so great it never made it to the ground. We didn't see any topical activity from MiloPro at the 1 pint per acre, though we did have a little bit post-emergence activity from MiloPro at 2 pints per acre when applied with glyphosate. The best or the most efficacious treatment out of these five came from Staple when it was applied at the post one, although the efficacy did fall or started to fall 3 weeks after the post application. Again, this is just a slide showing the timing of the next herbicide treatments relative to the control that we were receiving from our residual herbicides applied post one. And although we didn't have what you would call adequate efficacy for these treatments, only the staple was maybe providing enough control to take this crop under these conditions without a pre-emergence herbicide to the next post-application. Now, what was really interesting is what we were kind of excited about is the inclusion of MiloPro within a system that uses a pre-emergence herbicide, in this case Reflex, where we use Reflex Pre. Reflex Pre at 1 week after the post two was still giving us 84% control of glyphosate resistant Palmer amaranth, and 3 weeks even after, say, the lay-by treatment, this system had 67% control. However, when we added MiloPro at 1 pint per acre at either at the post one and post two, or MiloPro at 2 pints per acre at the post one treatment, we were achieving almost 90% or greater control of Palmer amaranth through the lay-by application. And these are just some slides to show you the efficacy. This is the Reflex Pre followed by the WeatherMax again at post one, then post two, and then Dyrex and MSMA at the lay-by. This is pretty clean cotton for Georgia. You can see we do have some Palmer amaranth. This is Reflex Pre followed by MiloPro at the 2 pints per acre plus WeatherMax followed by WeatherMax and then the lay-by application. This was about 88% control 3 weeks after the lay-by. And then this is the Reflex Pre with the MiloPro applied twice in the post one and post two, then followed by the lay-by. This achieved 93% control 3 weeks after the lay-by. Now, this is also important because at this site, these were the only plots that were harvested for yield or that were able to be harvested for yield because of the Palmer amaranth control that was achieved. When we had Reflex Pre only followed by WeatherMax and then Dyrex and MSMA at the lay-by, the end of season control was 50%, but for yield, 732 pounds of seed cotton per acre. We almost doubled that when we added the Reflex Pre and then MiloPro twice at the post one and post two, achieving an end of season Palmer amaranth control of 86%. For MiloPro at 2 pints per acre at the post one in the Reflex Pre system, almost 1,200 pounds of seed cotton per acre. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't potential for cotton injury. There were two sites, Clayton, North Carolina, and Attapulgis, Georgia, where the rates went on a little bit higher. They also have sandier soils, and there was significant injury, and this did impact yield. So there is the potential under certain circumstances, certain soil types, certain rainfall events and rates, where this would be, the injury threatens the productivity of the crop. I'm going to skip through the previous research. This is mostly to highlight that there hasn't been much being done in cotton. There is some work out of Texas Tech, Christopher Verrett, whose master's thesis was on propazine use in cotton, that's still waiting to come out. But in summary, MiloPro applied pre at the 1 to 2 pints per acre, minimal injury. There was no observable injury at Macon County or Moultrie for MiloPro-Pride Pre. At the higher rates on sandier soils, you can expect to see some unacceptable injury ratings. And then injury resulting from post-applications didn't exceed 8%. And just again, we did have good residual herbicide activity, a little bit of post-activity, and this suggests that this chemistry may be a useful component in an integrated program for managing glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth.
Do we have any questions? Time for a quick question.
Yeah.
Hey, Lynn, on your MiloPro, is that post-directed or post-over-the-top?
This was post-over-the-top.
Does the fact that you're not seeing much injury, does that kind of surprise you considering that it is a PS2 herbicide and we generally do see a bit of injury over the top of the PS2 herbicides?
I'm not as familiar with the PS2 herbicides. I think Dr. Stanley Culpepper or Dr. Alan York could probably answer that question a little better.
You have one more back. Any interest in getting it registered?
Now that I know, you definitely have to talk to Dr. Culpepper or Dr. York.
We're just exploring any possible opportunity. We've been in discussions with different individuals, but as you can see, 4x5 studies.
Thank you.
Okay.